All right. Can you hear me okay? All right, good morning. Really appreciate you coming this morning and attending our session. This is B321. I'm Brian Keller. I'm a program manager on the Microsoft Intune product team, so on the engineering team. My team right now has a lot of responsibilities around the infrastructure for Intune, the service itself, performance and scalability of the service to make sure that large deployments go very well for us. I'm also involved in a number of features within Intune, both in the mobile device management feature set, also on the IT pro side. With me is Peter Vickleven, and it's a real pleasure to have him here today. He works in the field with customers like you every day and has a lot of experience setting up Configuration Manager connected to Microsoft Intune, providing that hybrid management for those customers that have Configuration Manager today and want to do mobile device management through Intune, but get that single pane of glass management of both the PCs using the rich capabilities of Configuration Manager, but also then the light management of mobile devices combined in one experience for you. So we're very excited. Today we're going to focus a lot on how to get set up, and Peter's going to spend a lot of time walking you through how to take your Configuration Manager deployment, get started with Intune, connect the two offerings, and get up and running, and some gotchas. We haven't had an opportunity to go this deep on the configuration and setup of hybrid of the Microsoft Intune connector with Configuration Manager before, so I'm very excited to be able to present this to you today. Still getting a lot of noise here, I guess. Hopefully we'll get the doors shut. So what we're going to walk through today, as I mentioned, we're going to walk in depth so that we can help you understand and answer questions you have regarding the setup of the infrastructure to be able to do hybrid management, particularly getting going with the mobile device management features, connecting Configuration Manager to Intune. And our goal is to be able to show you all the ins and outs of how to be successful with that deployment and get started. And then at the end, so Peter will spend a lot of time with you today on that. At the end, I will talk a little bit about the strategy, some of the future, some of the features we have coming, and when they'll be available in hybrid. So the latest on the product group roadmap for Configuration Manager and Intune. So Peter, you want to go ahead and talk about how
Thanks. We're going to Thanks, set up? Brian.
You got it.
Good morning, everyone. This is the agenda for this session. So we'll first go into a preparation part. And this agenda could very well align with your implementation project of mobile device management together with, or Intune together with Config Manager. So we'll first start a few slides about the preparation. I've been involved with a lot of customers who implemented mobile device management, and we all had our surprises, and we learned from it. And I want to transfer that knowledge to you, so if you ever start a project like that, you can benefit from my mistakes. Hopefully that helps. And then we'll quickly have a few slides about the infrastructure. So how does it look like from a distance? What kind of roles, what kind of servers, how does the network look like? So I'll start to build a slide together with you to illustrate the whole infrastructure. Then we'll move into the setup part, and in the setup part, we'll also show you how to connect Intune to Config Manager and in configuration as well. What kind of stuff can you configure? For example, certificate deployment. What do you need in order to have that configured? And Brian will spend the last 10 minutes or so about the roadmap and all the cool new features that will be coming. So just to set expectations, this session is really about the infrastructure needed in order to have mobile device management. So we're talking about hooking up Config Manager to Intune, ADFS, DearSync. I'll explain you why Microsoft came up with ADFS and DearSync and Azure AD and all these things that you hear throughout all sessions. So this is, again, the agenda, and we'll start at the first thing up the top, preparation. Before you are involved in such a project, before you grab your car keys in the morning, you drive to the office, or you drive to a customer, you should ask yourself a few questions. The first one, and there's a lot of confusion out there about the two different kind of ways that you can use Intune. You can use Intune standalone. And I think in the next slide, it's listed a little bit better. So on the left side, you can see the standalone. Sometimes we refer to it as cloud only. If you don't have Configuration Manager, you can use Intune in this way. It means you manage everything throughout your browser. You don't really need anything on-premise. Then the second way, oh, and by the way, you can still manage all your mobile devices. So we're talking about iOS, Android, Windows Phone, even Windows itself, by installing an agent or enrolling it as a mobile device. I'll come back to that later. And we have the Config Manager way. So if you already invested in Config Manager, you have that on site. You probably have been using it for years. Your people are trained. You already manage your traditional, let's call it fat or rich client PCs. Then this might be the way to go. You can just hook up Intune to Config Manager, and all of a sudden you can enroll mobile devices, and you'll see them in the same Config Manager instance as you would be using.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention was from the engineering perspective, for the standalone cloud service, which is Microsoft Intune, the code velocity is very good for the engineering team. So for us being able to, as a product group, deliver new functionality quickly from the time that we design a feature, from the moment we can then check it into the service and have it available to you as a customer, is very quick. And if you look at what we've delivered as value to the customers, to you over the last year, quarterly, it's pretty rapid. So you'll be able to take advantage of an industry that's moving very quickly. New versions of platforms like iOS and Android coming out all the time. New management capabilities. We can very quickly deploy these to you because it's being hosted by Microsoft in our data centers securely, and you'll be able to take advantage of that. You wouldn't have to then worry about the infrastructure deployment within your own environment. So there's benefits to having Intune as a cloud service because we can deliver functionality very quickly. Obviously, so that's basically the left side. On the right side, if you have Configuration Manager, which is obviously an excellent product, I feel, and it has excellent PC management capabilities, and if you're using it today to do PC management and you want to add mobile device management to that on-premise infrastructure and get some of the benefits of the cloud, then that's a great option for you. The downside is that some of the features we deliver do sometimes require more comprehensive updates to Configuration Manager. Maybe not just the console, maybe the back end, some of the site systems and databases information. So it's kind of a bit hit or miss whether or not we can get a feature as quickly to the hybrid infrastructure as we can with the cloud service. So it's just something to think about as you look at how you're going to use mobile device management in your organization.
Thanks, Brian. Yep. So this is what the management interface looks like. So on the left side, you can see the standalone. So you really manage everything through your browser. On the right side, you can see System Center Configuration Manager. We'll dive into that later. You can also see the company portal, which is the application portfolio for your end users. And that's the same in both environments. From an end user perspective, nothing changes. So that was the first and most important question you should ask yourself, or if you're involved with a customer, you should ask the customer. Then if you decide to go for the unified device management solution, which means Config Manager, you have to make sure you are on Config Manager 2012. A lot of our customers out there, they have 2007. You cannot hook up Intune to Config Manager 2007. You need at least SP1, and we definitely recommend to upgrade to R2. If you have SP1, it's fairly easy, relatively easy to upgrade to R2, because that's when the real mobile device management enhancements were made. Then you should think about which platforms do you want to manage. Is it Windows Phone? Is it iOS? Is it Android? Or is it Windows 8.1? And with Windows 8.1, you have the choice on how you want to manage it. You can manage it using SCCM, Config Manager, or you can install an Intune client, or you can enroll it as a mobile device. And depending on which path, which direction you choose, you have different set or different kind of manageability options. So make sure you understand those. The other thing, and I run into this, if you want to deploy Windows Phone applications, your own in-house developed Windows Phone applications, you need a special Symantec certificate. It's a code signing certificate, and it can take a few days. I heard some stories about a few weeks in order to obtain this certificate. So if you're halfway you're in your project, and all of a sudden you realize that you need a code signing certificate, it will delay your whole project by a few days or weeks. So make sure you take that into account. You don't, if you're just using it as a POC or a pilot, you don't need to buy this certificate. There's a free download. It's called the Intune Trial, the Trial Tools for Windows Intune. That's the one, or Microsoft Intune. And if you download and install that, you can enroll Windows phones, and you can deploy two sample applications. Again, if you want to deploy your own applications, you need the special certificate. So the next question you should ask yourself is the company you're working with or working for, is it cloud-enabled? And by cloud-enabled, we mean, do they already have Office 365? Do they already have DirSync? Maybe they already have a thing called ADFS. We'll come back to that later. If that's all been taken care of, switching on Intune is like a light switch. It's fairly easy. If you don't have this stuff in place, it means you'll need to invest a little bit more. But the advantage is also the other way around. If you have that in place, switching on other Microsoft Cloud products or services is fairly easy. The other thing that's important is about certificate deployment. We get a lot of requests from our customers. They want to deploy certificates to mobile devices, for example, to make sure that a secure connection to the Wi-Fi is established, or for a certificate-based authentication against VPN or Exchange. And if you look in the Config Manager interface, it just shows you certificates, and it looks like you can just right-click and deploy a certificate, but the reality is slightly different. You need more infrastructure in order to enable this. The first thing you should question yourself, and that's something I hit, this issue, is whether Server 2012 R2 is allowed. I went to this customer, and halfway throughout the project, I told them, okay, you know, this is the time where we install the NDES server, Network Device Enrollment Server. I'll come back to that later. And that's a Server 2012 R2. And they told me, well, that's very nice, Peter, but we just, last week, we approved 2008 R2 as a default platform in our environment. So if you come back in 5 years, we might be able to install this thing. So keep that in mind, because sometimes you need to test it with your antivirus, your backup tools, your monitoring tools. So it needs to be allowed. We need at least one Server 2012 R2. The issuing CA needs to be at least 2008 R2. As a matter of fact, if you have this specific version, you need an additional hotfix. Once you have that installed, you're good to go. And throughout the installation of NDES, you need enterprise admin credentials just once. It's only throughout the setup process. Once you're done, you're good to go. Now, once you have this stuff in place, there are a few things you should be aware of. You either sign up or sign in for an Intune trial. And I'll demo that in a second, what it means. There's a world of difference. Then you can add your public domain. So let's imagine my public domain is contoso.com. You can add this domain to your Microsoft tenant. And that will allow you or your end users to authenticate against Intune. For example, in order to show the company portal, they can log in with their normal UPN or their normal email address. And that's much user-friendly. So that's definitely best practice there. In order to prove that you are the owner of that public domain, you need to change some DNS records. Because if you can change the DNS records, it's very likely that you are the owner. Now, once you are changing DNS records, once you're at it, also add this enterprise enrollment CNAME. It's well documented on TechNet. The reason you should do this is when you enroll a Windows phone, you enter your email address, you enter your password, and then it will query you for your mobile device management server. And an end user has to type in manage.microsoft.com, which is not really user-friendly. If you add this CNAME, the end user won't be prompted for the management server. So they only need to enter their username, password, that's it, enrolled. You also have to add your local UPN or change your local UPN in your Active Directory forest. I'll demo that on how to do that. We've seen some issues with that as well. I'll explain that in a second. So I'm going to demo a few things. And basically, this is the scenario. We have a customer who's running Office 365. They've been using Config Manager to manage their traditional PCs. This can be either Windows, Mac, Linux. All of a sudden, recently, people came in with a lot of mobile devices. And they need to manage this. So what we're going to do is we're going to add Windows Intune to Config Manager and make sure the infrastructure is in place to have mobile device management enabled. So that brings us to the first demo. Remember, I just mentioned the signing up or signing in, which is fairly important. I'll explain that. I'll explain how you can add a public domain, how you prove ownership. So for that, I'll change to this machine. So the first thing you should do is bring up your browser. And of course, your default search engine is Bing, right? Well, anyway, use your favorite search engine. You'll find it anyway. If you look for Intune trial, you'll eventually hit this site where you can request a 30-day trial. And with that 30-day trial, you get 25 licenses. We've seen a lot of customers that at the end of the 30 days, they need more time. You can phone up support and ask for an extension, and they're happy to extend it for another 30 days. The important bit here is the signing up or signing in. And it's even listed in the small text over here. But I'll be honest with you, nobody reads this. So the important thing is if you already have a Microsoft tenant, and a Microsoft tenant is the onmicrosoft.com thing, if you already have one, it means you probably already have users desynced into that Active Directory, Azure Active Directory. If you already have that, you can just log in with the same credentials, and you're good to go. We'll just add the Intune licenses to that tenant, and you're good to go. If not, just fill in all the boxes. Important bit here is that you should be aware of which region you select, because this will lock the place, the nearest data center, where your data will initially be located. So it's very important to, because you can't change this afterwards. So make sure you pick the right country. Now, in my case, remember the scenario. We already have a customer that already has Office 365. Let me just launch this in private. So we're going to log in with the existing Office 365 credentials. And it should question or should ask us whether we want to confirm our purchase of 25 Intune licenses. So we're going to do that. And of course, we agree. So now what we can see, if we go to user management, we can see that we already have a few users in here. You can even judge by the icon that these guys are desynced. We'll talk about that later. And we have a few guys which are created locally in the local store. So that's because we're already using Office 365, so we have this stuff already desynced. Now, you can also add your public domain. I've done that for one domain over here, this one over here, techat2014. If you add your own domain, I'll just do this very quickly. Test domain techat.com. It already exists. OK, I didn't see that coming, 2014. So then you have to prove ownership by changing something in the DNS. You have two methods of proving ownership. You either create a text record or an MX record. You can see that the text record is preferred. I personally prefer MX because my hosting provider only allows me to create MX entries using a web control panel, it doesn't allow me to create text records. So, but doesn't matter which one you pick. Once you've done that, it will be listed as verified, just like you could have seen for the other domain. Let's go back one more time. Okay, it did got added. Anyway, you can see you have to, once it's verified the DNS, you can verify it here and it's done. One more thing. The other thing you need to do is add that same domain as an alternative UPN to your Active Directory. So what we need to do is go to a domain controller and start up this management interface, the Active Directory domains and trusts. Once you have that, you go to the properties. I hope we can you can see it in the back. Let me try to zoom a bit. So you can see you can add alternative UPN suffixes. And this is very important, otherwise Intune together with Config Manager will never work. The thing is that Config Manager will discover your users and will discover their UPN. That UPN needs to match whatever is dir synced into Azure AD. So for example, my on-premise UPN needs to be peter at techat2014.com. I can still log in with my previous UPN, that's perfectly fine. But this one needs to be my default UPN. As soon as that one is discovered by Config Manager and it matches the one in Azure AD, you get a license assigned and you're ready to go. This is also one of the most common mistakes or issues that we see at customers. This thing needs to match whatever is in Azure AD. Okay, then we move on to the infrastructure. And I'm just going to build this slide together with you. I think if I would just smash the slide at you, you would be completely lost, myself as well. So we're going to build it together. On the right side, you can see a mobile device and the Intune service, the cloud service. Now, the first thing that you probably have on premise, at least I hope so, is a domain controller. You might have Config Manager 2012 R2. And you'll have a certificate authority if you want to distribute certificates. The first thing we need to do is hook up Config Manager with Intune. And later on, I'll show you how to do it. It's 1 minute of work. It's fairly easy. It's an outbound connection, 443 TCP. It's all SSL secured. Most companies, they already allow these outbound connections. Sometimes we need to configure a proxy, and on TechNet, there's a nice list of all the URLs that you need to whitelist in order to make this connection possible. Once you've done that, we need to synchronize the identities into the cloud. And within a few minutes, I'll pick my service and I'll do some drawing, and I'll hopefully explain to you well why this is needed. Because every session they talk about syncing your users, enabling Azure AD, a switch on ADFS. But when I speak to people, they always tell me, I'm not really sure why we need to synchronize these things. If you could explain it to me, I would feel so much better. So I'll try to convince you that it's a good thing to do. Anyway, sorry. So we need to desync our users to the Azure Active Directory. Desync is a tool. There are now two tools available which allow you to do this. You can install it on any machine. It's even allowed to install on a domain controller. And the next thing, if you don't want to synchronize passwords, and when someone tells you you have the option to synchronize passwords, what they're saying is, we're going to take a hash from Active Directory, because we don't store passwords, we store hashes. We're going to hash that again, and that's something we upload to the Azure Active Directory. So it's a hash of a hash. Anyway, if you don't want to synchronize a hash of a hash, you have the option to install something called Active Directory Federation Services. And again, I will explain to you why that's needed. If you decide to go this path, and it's probably the recommended way to go, what will happen is that users or devices will authenticate themselves So there's an inbound connection, again 443 TCP SSL secured. And a lot of customers, they don't like that there are inbound connections made to ADFS services. This thing is domain joined. So inbound connections from the internet, from any IP to a domain joined service, that scares a lot of people. So you have the option to put something else in your DMZ. So on the left side, it's the trusted zone. Everything's domain joined. In the DMZ, you can install something which is called the ADFS proxy. You can use the third-party solution for this, or you use the web application proxy, which is a role you can install in Server 2012. This thing doesn't have to be domain joined. It can be in a workgroup. And once you have this installed, you can have a reverse proxy that will query or will reroute your ADFS queries to the trusted zone. If you want to do certificate deployment, there is this thing needed, NDES, again, Network Device Enrollment Service. This is the 2012 R2 box, mandatory. It cannot be any older operating system. And the same thing will happen here. Devices will make an inbound connection. I'll explain the flow a little bit later, but what happens in a nutshell, a profile is deployed to a device, and the device itself will fetch or will go out and request a certificate. And Microsoft made sure this is done in a secure way. We'll come back to that later. But here we have the same issue. A lot of our customers, they don't like that we have inbound connections to domain joined service. So the same thing here, you can add a reverse proxy. Technically, it can be the same box as the ADFS proxy. We used to have some issues with our WAP, web application proxy, because it didn't work so well in this scenario, but we recently released a hotfix, or at least we're testing it internally. It will be released soon, which will allow you to use this scenario. Now, the only thing we need to do on the left side, everything is domain joined, so we just drew some lines to make sure that's visible. Now, we're going to move into the setup part. And like mentioned before, I'm going to use my surface and do some drawing, and hopefully that will help you understand why we need ADFS, why we need DSync, and why we have this thing called Azure AD. Okay, again, why do we need ADFS, Azure AD, and DSync? So it is a bit experimental for me as well, so let us know in the evals if this makes any sense. In order to explain it well, we need to go back into time, around 15 years, and we need to have a quick, very quick introduction about the problem that we call identity. You hear it everywhere, identity, it's an issue, it's a challenge, what do we need to do? What is identity? What kind of problem are we looking at? If we go back into time 15 years, so we're just before the year 2000, roughly. Everyone's scared about the millennium bug. That's where we are right now. Back then, just like today, you have end users. And we have applications. So let's say in this example, we have three applications. And every application has a local store. And in this local store, the username or password is located. So that means if a user wants to have access, let's say this first user wants to have access to the first application, it means that in the local store, the username and password, or some access token, whatever you name it, must be located in there. However, if that same user wants to access another application, you need to have maybe the same credentials or different credentials. They're stored in that same database or in the different database in the local store. And you can already maybe feel the challenge that we have here because you might have the same password. You might have a different password or a different username. Maybe there's a different expiry password or policy. So that means that for the end user, it is not really that friendly because if you have three applications, you need to remember three usernames and passwords. And It becomes even more complicated if you draw these other lines. I think it's very easy to see that we have a bit of an inventory problem here. With only 3 users and 3 applications, you don't really have the control or overview anymore. So, what happened? Let me put this to the right. So let's not go into the discussion who came first, but fact is that Microsoft came with this thing called Active Directory. Now, with Active Directory, this is around the year 2000, the process is slightly different on how a user accesses an application. The way it works is that all these applications, they have some kind of trust with the Active Directory. What happens if a user, this guy, for example, wants to access this application? The application will redirect. Will redirect the user. So it will tell the user, whoever you are, go to your local ID, authenticate yourself. If that happens correctly, you'll get a token. With that token, just present it to me. And since I have a trust with the local ID, I trust that publisher of the token, I'll give you access. Now, for the end user, that's great, because you only have to remember one username and password, and you can access multiple applications. And for companies, it's great as well, because here in the local ID, you can create security groups, and you can give access to many people to an application. So you solved a bit of the issue, but not everything. And by the way, this flow that we see over here, that's something which is called Kerberos. Let me write that. So Kerberos is just an agreement on how these tokens flow between the different systems. Now, this all works fine until you have an application, because I hope you agree that many companies have more than 3 applications. If you have another application that is unaware of AD, and your company will probably have applications that is not aware of what AD is, so it cannot hook into Active Directory. And this was basically the birth around something which is called identity management servers or solutions. And if we talk about Microsoft, this is FIM. Now, the way that works is that it hooks into the back end of these databases. And they, on their turn, they can get other information. For example, if you have an HR system, you know, if someone is hired, the information will be populated in the identity management solution. And that will make sure that the user account is synchronized to the right databases. And the synchronizing part, every identity management solution is very good at synchronizing, but not so good in controlling. And what I mean by that is that synchronizing user accounts is fairly easy, but removing user accounts becomes more difficult. And I'm pretty sure if you all go back to wherever you work, and you would make a list in your company, you would make a list of all the users and all the permissions, the guy or woman, you never know, the person who has the most permissions is probably the person who works there the longest. That's what we've seen in the most scenarios. So anyway, the challenge we have here is that these lines, in this example, we only have 4, but we've seen at larger companies, it can be hundreds or even thousands. It's very difficult to maintain. So they have dedicated teams just making sure that these lines are all well taken care of. So that's what we have right now on-premise. This has been going on forever. And now, a lot of people, they're a bit afraid, because we have a new world, which is called the cloud. So all of a sudden, everything underneath here, this is on-premise stuff, and everything above is cloud. Now, all of a sudden, we have the history repeats. because there are a few cloud services. It doesn't really look like a cloud. It looks more like bread. Well, the coolest of all, of course, is Intune, but we also have some other service that you might have heard about, Office 365, for example. But let's not stick to the Microsoft world. There are more guys out there. For example, Google Apps. And every one of them has a local store. You can go to Intune, you can go to Office 365 and create a local user. That works. So maybe you see the thing that we drew earlier underneath. We have a bit of the same issue again. So a lot of the users, they start creating new accounts, and you lose track again. You don't know which usernames you have, which passwords. They might expire at different times. So we need to come up with a solution. And since we already have all our identities stored here in this, well, basically, this is where the identities, the IDs are located. Wouldn't it be great if we can just synchronize those identities to the cloud providers or the SaaS providers? So what it looks like is that you'll get lines from your local ID. So in our solution, in the Microsoft world, you need to install something called DirSync. For Google Apps, there's another application. I have no idea what the name is, but there is something. But maybe you see the challenge that we have again. Because what if we, you know, there are thousands of other cloud providers. So you need to maintain these lines again. So you might see the similarity that we had on-premise. So that's why Microsoft, they thought about this. And they said, you know what? We are going to deliver that as a service. And we call it Azure AD. So here we have Azure AD. And this is the heart of the Microsoft Cloud. So what you need to do, you need to synchronize your identities once. And once you have your identities in the Azure AD, from that point on, Microsoft will make sure that these lines are being taken care of. So you only synchronize once, and you can enable thousands of cloud services. Literally thousands. And we have dedicated teams who are just monitoring these lines. So if one breaks, they will fix it within, as quick as possible. And I guarantee you, they can do a better job than most companies can do out there. So that's one issue taken care of. So now we have the identities are synchronized to the local stores in these, or at least they're located in Azure AD, and they will make sure that Intune, since they have a trust, that it can leverage those accounts. Now, the other thing we can do, if you install DirSync, you can also DirSync passwords. Again, hash for hash. But a lot of our customers, they don't want to synchronize passwords, and for good reasons. So wouldn't it be nice if we can use the same traffic or same protocol as we used with Kerberos, if we use that in the cloud? So let's imagine this process. We have a user, wherever he's located, wants to access Intune. And Intune says, I know who you are because I got your account synchronized, but I don't have your password. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to redirect you to your local ID. So that's what is going to happen here. This guy is redirected to the local ID. Local ID authenticates the user. Sorry. It's redirected. So it's redirected to the local ID, gets a token, and with that token, you can log on to Intune. Very similar to the flow we discussed earlier in regards to Kerberos. And by the way, in the real world, there are a few lines here, but just for simplicity, I'm not drawing those. The only issue here is that on-premise, we talk Kerberos. Kerberos is not designed to flow over the internet. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to flow over the internet. So, and the protocols that are spoken over here are a few other ones. So we have, for example, WS Federation, which is our own protocol. but there are a few more. For example, this is one you always hear with customers, SAML 2.0. There is OpenID Connect. And there are probably more coming. Now, we need something to translate those newer protocols, the web-based protocols, to Kerberos and the other way around. And that's where ADFS comes into play. So ADFS is something, I'll just draw it over here. And ADFS is a very, very simple thing. The only thing it does is translate one of the newer protocols, SAML 2, for example, back to Kerberos and the other way around. That's the only thing. It can do way more. It can do device registration, and it can enforce policies, and there will be more funky stuff coming, I'm sure. But in essence, this is what ADFS is doing. It's purely translating stuff. So we can do cool things now, because you can still use your identity management solution and give access to users to cloud applications. Because whatever you define here is synchronized to your Active Directory. Your Active Directory is there synced to the cloud, and there you can set permissions. So if you use this approach, you become more in control. It's much easier to take advantage or to control all the new SaaS applications that will be out there. So that's it in a nutshell, and I hope you like this way of teaching. That's why we definitely recommend to look at the Azure AD, to think about using ADFS. It's not mandatory, but we definitely recommend it. Where's the clicker? Thanks. So we talked about password sync versus ADFS. Then there are more tools out there. So you probably heard about DirSync. But there's also a new tool, which is called Azure Active Directory Sync. And depending on your scenario, you should either use DirSync. DirSync, for example, has the option to synchronize the password. Azure AD Sync, as of right now, doesn't have that option. But if you don't need if you don't want to synchronize your password, for example, if you're using ADFS, this tool is the way to go. And I'll show you why. So I already pre-installed the tool. Maybe you've seen it at, I think they showed it at the keynote as well. The only thing I'm going to demo or I'm going to show to you is this really cool option. First of all, can I zoom here? Yeah. This is cool as well. You can add multiple forests. If you have DirSync, you cannot do multiple forests. So this is one of the key reasons why to use this tool. But the real cool thing we have is this thing over here, the attribute filtering. Because whenever I speak to a customer about synchronizing identities, they want to know which attributes we're going to sync, why we're going to sync it, if they can limit it, the amount of attributes. So that's exactly what we can do over here. If you hit next, you can pick a scenario. So for example, since we're talking about Intune, I only selected the Intune checkbox. And then if we move on, you get a list of all the attributes that are being synced. It's not that much, to be honest. But if you're really paranoid, you can even restrict it more. You can just deselect which attributes are being synced. I'm not sure if what happens from a supportability perspective. I mean, if you deselect the whole list, nothing will work, that's for sure. So make sure you think about which ones to synchronize. I always tell customers, your local supermarket knows more about you than we know about you with these attributes. So once you hit next finish, it will just synchronize everything to your Azure AD. And from that point on, you can enable all services like Office 365, Intune, etc. Okay, so we're moving into the, or we're still at the setup part, and we're gonna talk about the Microsoft Intune connector. So once you have Config Manager, if you're already using that, we've now added Intune licenses, trial licenses to our tenant. So we should be able to add that to Config Manager. And that's exactly what we're gonna do right now. For those of you who have never seen Config Manager, welcome, voila, this is Config Manager. The thing you need to do is go to administration. There's an Intune subscription underneath the cloud services. And we can add, let me see if I can zoom here. We can add an Intune subscription. The first thing that you are prompted is that you want to make sure that this is set as your mobile device management authority. This means, remember in the beginning we talked about standalone and about UDM, this is UDM. You cannot just switch back and forth as much times as you want. You need to think about it, which direction am I gonna take? If you wanna switch back, it's fairly complicated, you need to call support, they will reset your tenant, all devices that are enrolled need to be re-enrolled again. So think about this before you actually put the check mark and hit OK. So of course, this time we understand. Enter your credentials. Now there is a very small chance that this doesn't work, but I think it does. Because we just added the Intune trial licenses. It takes a few minutes before that's populated. Looks fine. Then what we need to do, let me zoom in a bit. What we need to do is specify a collection. This is just a limiting collection. If you're already used to Config Manager, you know what we're talking about. You enter a company name, some other stuff, the configuration code, you have to select it. Hit next. You can select which platforms do you want to manage. I'll just do Android. Remember, for iOS, you need a so-called APN certificate, which is fairly easy to request. There's even in the ribbon, I can show you later, there's a link or a button you can click. It will bring you to the Apple side. You have to log on with an Apple ID, and you'll get a certificate. You import it over here, done. Free of charge, 1 minute, and you can manage iOS. Fairly simple. With Windows Phone, remember, the certificate, if you want to deploy your own applications, you need to have that upfront or configure it later. Well, you can enter some other stuff. Maybe we can skip it. You can include company logos. This will be visible at the company portal. So if your end users log on to the company portal, and we have native applications for Android. So if you go to the Google Play Store and you look for Intune or for Company Portal, you will find the native application. Same thing for iOS and Windows. Once you're logged on, or you're logged on to that Company Portal, whatever you specify here will be shown in that thing. Then we just hit finish, and that's it. And that's it. So now we configured Config Manager for mobile device management. Fairly simple, isn't it? So depending on time, I'll spend a bit more effort on showing you what our options here are to configure things. But for now, we'll just continue. And like I said, if we have enough time, we'll come back. So the other thing you need to understand is certificate deployment. Like mentioned before, it does require an additional server, the 2012 R2, in order to install the NDES role. The NDES server needs to be domain joined, but you can put an additional reverse proxy in your DMZ. And there is a step-by-step guide, which is, if you follow this link, you end up on my blog. So this is a shameless plug of my blog, which will show you all the steps that you need to do in order to enable certificate deployment to mobile devices. The way it works, the flow, I'm going to show you. And just to make it a bit more readable, I'm going to remove the servers that we don't need for certificate deployment. And we're just going to rearrange them so it's a bit more easy to follow. If you think about certificate deployment, a lot of our customers, they think, well, it sounds easy. A device requests a certificate, you generate one, you send it to a device, and that's it. But that's not the most secure method, because if you want to do it that way, it means you need to generate the private key somewhere else. The private key flows over the internet via several servers. So Microsoft chose a different way, and it's using SCEP, Simple Certificate Enrollment Protocol, which is a very old protocol and not the safest protocol. As a matter of fact, it has a lot of vulnerabilities. So that's why Microsoft added an additional security layer to make sure that nothing has been tampered with. And I'll show you how it works. The first step is that on Config Manager 2012, you configure a profile, certificate profile. So you decide what the key length is, what kind of subject name, what the purpose is, and you deploy that to Intune. This is all safe, remember? This is 443, secured. So this whole channel to Intune is secured. That will touch down, that will land on the device. So the device will get a profile, and in that profile, there's a link, https://endes.contoso.com, so a public link to the Endes server. Oh, sorry, I forgot one thing. You need to deploy a root CA certificate. This is not scary at all. Once you've done that, then you deploy the SCEP profile with a challenge. So this is the thing in order to overcome the SCEP vulnerabilities. It's a challenge which is built out of several variables, including username and time, date, whatever. And that's being deployed to the device. The device gets the profile. In it is the link to the Endes server, so it will reach out via the reverse proxy to the Endes server. It will present the challenge, and Endes will validate if that's an authentic request. So it will go out to the Config Manager server, which issued the profile to start with, and issued the challenge. And the Endes server will ask the Config Manager server, I just got this request for a certificate from this guy, and he gave me a specific challenge. Is this a legit request or not? Let's assume it is. Then the Endes server will reach out to your certificate authority, and it will request the certificate. The certificate then will land on the device, and the private key, this is important, the private key is generated on the device itself. It's marked as non-exportable. So I personally think, from a security perspective, this solution is very good. It could be a lot simpler, and some of our friends out there with similar mobile device management solutions, they take a different approach. But I personally think this one it's more complicated, that's true, but it's more safe. And by the way, later on, Brian, what time is Dilip's session? Do you know, was it 3 or 5?
Yeah, I think it's 5 o'clock. I will let you know that there is a session later this afternoon on securing mobile devices and implementing conditional access, resource access, which will go into much more detail on some of these features. As mentioned, this is an infrastructure session, and so we're really focusing on the setup and the configuration and how to get things working. And later on this afternoon or evening, there'll be a session that goes into how to actually run these scenarios in your environment. And I have the number. I'll let you know what the session is at the end.
Yeah, I think on one of the last slides we listed the session as well.
That's right.
So if you're interested in this stuff, you should definitely visit that session later on. I think it's either 3 or 5 p.m. today. Okay, so in a nutshell, like Brian mentioned, this is an infrastructure session, so we're not really going in depth on what you can configure, what you can deploy. But in a nutshell, what can we do? We support all the major platforms, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows. We can deploy basic MDM policies, so that's fairly simple. You should think about password complexity, passwords, policies, whether the device should be locked after a few minutes of idle, that you should have a password at all. Then we could do slightly more advanced stuff, like, for example, VPN, Exchange ActiveSync profiles. This is being used by a lot of our customers. Pretty cool. End user gets a device, let's say a Windows phone, and rolls into Intune and automatically gets an Exchange profile assigned on the device. The big advantage is that we can also do whatever we push using Intune, we can also selective wipe. So if an end user decides to create an Exchange profile on its own, we can all do that. As of now, if you don't have conditional access, you can do that and you'll get your mail. We cannot selective wipe that because we have no idea what it is. If we push the profile, it's a different story. Let's imagine you have a Windows phone and you configured your Gmail, Hotmail, but you also received the pushed profile for your company email. We can just wipe the company email without touching your Gmail, Hotmail, whatever. We can also push Wi-Fi profiles, certificates, or combine those things. For example, certificate-based access to Wi-Fi, we can configure that as well. VPN, like mentioned in the beginning, we can also do trigger-based VPN, which is pretty cool, which means there will be a mini tunnel established whenever you start an application or when the device queries specific subnets. The VPN will automatically trigger. And of course, applications.
So Peter, Brian, we actually have just a few minutes, and I wondered if you would go into the console and maybe show how these customers here could get in and access some of these scenarios alongside what they're doing for PC management today. What does it actually look like to look at VPN, profile deployment, Wi-Fi certificates? Would you be able to show that real quick?
Sure, we have some time left, so that's good. So what I'm going to do, I have an RDP session established here. This is a different Config Manager instance. This one has been in use for a while. For those of you who are managing or using SCCM to manage traditional PCs, you can see over here, judging by the icon, you can see we have a few classic PCs or servers, but you can also see, judging on the icon as well, that we have different devices all of a sudden. We have a few, here we have a Windows phone, here we have an iPad, here we have a Surface, so all those things can be enrolled. Now, of course, you can have a look at the inventory, just like you could do with traditional PCs, but I think the real power or the real useful stuff is located at either the configuration item. So let me show you. I'm not sure if you can see this in the back, so I'll zoom in as soon as possible. So you, just like you could do for on-premise PCs, you can use configuration items to push policies. The only thing you need to do, the type of configuration, now you have a new option called mobile device. And if you pick this, apparently you have to specify a name. Name. Then you can select different categories. So the most simple one, of course, is password. I'll just show one in the interest of time. And here you can specify the stuff you would expect. Fairly simple, push a password policy to a device. The more interesting stuff, I think, is over here. So this is where you deploy either a certificate profile, email profile, VPN, Wi-Fi, etc. It's fairly easy. If we take the email profile, for example, I'm going to create a new one. You just specify a few things. The Exchange ActiveSync host account name, so this is whatever is shown on the device, my first email account, and of course your Exchange ActiveSync host, which can also be Office 365, of course. Let's just mail.contoso.com, just enter something. My first email. You specify a few options. What kind of content to synchronize, how secure it should be. One thing here, this, with a lot of these things, it's whatever the platform supports. So Android doesn't support this option. Windows Phone does. So that's an issue you always, if you talk about mobile device management, if someone asks you, is this possible? The answer is always, it depends. Because it depends on what the platform allows us to do. Now then, you select which platform you want to use. So in my example, I'm going to do Windows Phone 8.1. Once this is done, you can just right-click and deploy it. And within a few minutes, we should be able to get the profile on the device. Important thing here, I didn't mention it, I forgot to mention it. If you install Config Manager 2012 R2, we have a few more updates, which are called CUs, cumulative updates. Right now, we're at number 3. And we definitely recommend to install the latest CU. Because if you don't have that CU, if you deploy this profile, it can take forever until it really ends up on the device. You'll be staring at the device for 8 hours or something, and then at some point in time, hallelujah, it's arrived. If you install CU3, it's a matter of minutes instead of hours. We made massive improvements over there. So make sure you install that. This one. So that's stuff we can configure over here. The last thing with this demo is the extensions. And I think you mentioned this as well in the beginning, Brian. Every now and then, we need to push updates. For example, recently, iOS 8 came out. And using this technology, we can just push down updates to Config Manager. So you don't need to install any executables, MSIs. At some point in time, if you launch Config Manager, it will prompt you. It will say, new extensions are available. Would you like to install those? If you install them, you all of a sudden have support for iOS 8 or Windows Phone 8.1, depending on new features. If it's possible, we'll use this mechanism to update your local SCCM. OK, that's it in a nutshell. I'll give the word to Brian. He will explain everything about the roadmap and all the cool features that are coming.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. So what you just saw there is when you hear us talking about unified device management and single pane of glass, some of these buzzwords, that's what we're really talking about, is the ability to manage not only your traditional PCs, but also your mobile devices from the same console. Notice that when Peter went in to configure settings for mobile devices, it was in the same location in the console that you'll do configuration items and different settings for your PCs. So really, the workflows are the same. When you're deploying, you can use the same concepts as far as collections, whether they're dynamic or direct membership. And so all of the learnings that you have as a company around using Configuration Manager, how to deploy settings, how to go through the wizards, how to configure things, building your collections and deploying to groups, all those concepts apply to mobile devices, and it's really tightly integrated. And that's really been our focus. And when you hear, like I said, you hear in presentations, you hear people talk about unified device management, that's really what we're talking about. And I really appreciate Peter going through all that detail. I hope you all found that very useful. One thing I wanted to do is talk a little bit about the roadmap, some of the features that we have. You've probably heard a lot about this during the keynote or other sessions, but I'll just recap for you some of the things we have coming as far as manageability. So we have a bunch of new features coming to Windows, Microsoft Intune regarding a tight integration with Office. So being able to protect Office data through configuring the applications on devices as well as securing the devices themselves. We have a bunch of new features coming around being able to get conditional access to email and to documents within the organization. So meaning that end users that want to access corporate data, they first have to enroll their devices. They have to comply to the corporate policies that you have, whether it's they need a PIN or they need to have an email profile deployed. They need to make sure their devices are secure, maybe not rooted or jailbroken. So there's a number of policies you will apply to mobile devices. And if users are compliant with those policies on their device, then they'll be able to gain access to resources. And as I mentioned earlier, there is a session that goes into much more detail on these features this evening. So I definitely encourage you to check that out. So the release time frame for a lot of these features, there's a certain set coming next month, so right around the corner. Updates to the Microsoft Intune standalone service. We have another release coming in December with additional functionality, the integration with Office that I mentioned, and the resource access features and security features. And then next year, we're going to have another large release with new features, new updates, and a lot of work that we're doing around Configuration Manager to be able to bring some of these features to your hybrid deployments, like the one that Peter just outlined for you. There's updates that are coming to support Windows 10. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of new great features and functionality around enterprise management that we want to make sure and support for your existing deployments. And then the other big challenge that we have, and I've been working really closely with my team on this, is making sure that although we're delivering rapid functionality to Microsoft Intune as the cloud service, we want to make sure and get you those customers that have the hybrid environment, the Configuration Manager, get you those features as quick as we can. So there's a lot of features. I don't want you expect you to read all of these different features that are coming. By the way, this deck will be available, and this presentation will be available post-show. And there's a lot of information in the deck, additional notes and things I think you might find useful. So you can not only review all of these features, but also get some additional hints regarding the presentation after the show. But the point here is that there's a lot of functionality being delivered to Microsoft Intune, and we have a lot of work to do as an engineering team to make sure that those features make it into Configuration Manager through the hybrid deployment. And, you know, Peter touched on it earlier. There's several ways that we can deliver this functionality to you as a customer that has Configuration Manager connected to Microsoft Intune. The first is through those extensions that Peter showed you. So if it's a lightweight addition to Configuration Manager, maybe just some new UI workflows, new settings to support iOS 8, for example, we can deliver those rapidly through Microsoft Intune down to your console. So it doesn't require a big deployment of any type of Configuration Manager. And that's what I would call the easy upgrade path. Then there's kind of the middle upgrade path to be able to get some of these features, where you would deploy potentially a CU or a service pack to be able to get additional functionality. Some of these features require more complex changes to the Configuration Manager deployment in order to implement, and so you'd have to look at that. And then there's some of the features that really are end-to-end features that require more updates to Configuration Manager, and you would be looking at the next version, complete version of Configuration Manager. So we try, obviously, to deliver functionality via those extensions first because it's quick and easy. If we can't make it there, then we go into a service pack or a cumulative update, and ultimately, if the feature isn't able to be implemented in a lightweight fashion, we would implement it as part of the full Configuration Manager deployment. So with that, I want to thank you for coming out this morning. I hope you found this presentation useful. There's a number of other sessions out there. I mentioned the Securing Mobile Device Access to Corporate Resources with Intune. Highly encourage you to check that out, where you'll get some additional information around the features and functionality that are coming. And so definitely check out some of these additional sessions. Also, there's instructor-led labs and other things. Find us later. Actually, find us right now. If you have questions, Peter and I will stay. We'd love to have you come up, tell us your feedback, ask any questions you have. We'll stick around, and we really appreciate your time this morning. Please enjoy the rest of the conference, and thank you very much.